Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Oh, somebody say in Jesus' name. I want to read to you from the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. Thank you for having us. We love this church. We always enjoy and look forward to being here. Amen. We love Brother and Sister Hansen so dearly. How do you feel about Brother and Sister Hansen? Amen. 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 Well, we feel the same way too. We love them dearly. Amen. They have been more than just a pastor that we come and preach for. They have been like family to us, and we so appreciate them and their family and this amazing apostolic church, the Portland Pentecostals. Amen. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to put it on your name that we're the Pentecostals, because that just means you got to be Pentecostal all the time. We're not just the church on the hill. We're not just the church that we go to church every week. We are the Pentecostal people. That means when we come into church, we better be Pentecostal every time we come and live up to that name. Amen. We are full of the Holy Ghost, and we're not afraid of it. We're not ashamed of it. We're thankful for it. That's why today I want to go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. The word of the Lord says, when they heard this, they were pricked. Another version says they were pierced in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? This is the question of the hour. This is the question of North America right now. This is the question of the entire world right now. What shall we do? What do we do? And Peter said to them, repent, turn from your sins, turn from your ways, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the washing away of your sins, and you shall receive. Everybody shout receive. Everybody shout receive. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received, everybody shout receive, everybody that received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I want to preach to you for just a few moments. It's time to take it. Everybody say that with me. It's time to take it. I want you to lift up your hands as a sign of faith, surrender, and expectation that from your heart you're saying, God, this is my day, and I'm going to take what you have purchased for me, the gift of your spirit, the gift of salvation. I'm not leaving without it. I'm taking what you bought for me. I'm taking what you have poured out for me. Would you lift up your voice and let the Lord know, I want to take your power, your spirit, your love, your blessing for me. And before you're seated, why don't we give God a standing ovation? Come on, with everything inside of you. Come on, push past your exhaustion. Push beyond your foot. Don't look at me right now. Look upward. Look under the hills. Look under heaven and clap your hands. You may be seated if you'll shout yes. Yes. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is more than just an inward experience of which is undiscernible within the five senses of man. The Holy Ghost is a tangible, notable experience and expression of the love of Jesus Christ through the sacrifice that he has paid for you. And everybody said amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a tangible, notable experience for you. When you read throughout the book of Acts, which was the birthplace of the church, when God poured out his Spirit unto salvation for the very first time. Yes, if you read your Bible, your homework for this afternoon, read the Bible from Genesis all the way through the Gospels. Okay, can you do that today? And if you do that, you will find that there were other people that were moved on of the Holy Ghost. There were other people that even Scripture talks about being filled by the Holy Ghost, or acted upon, activated, empowered, impacted by the Holy Ghost. However, those experienced throughout the Bible from Genesis all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their experience was to be acted upon of his Spirit for the empowerment of a purpose unto God that God had designed or planned for them. If God called them to do something that they could not do in their flesh, his Spirit would empower them. How do you think the waters of the Red Sea were divided? It was not by the sound of Moses' voice that called the ocean to divide. No, it happened through the power of God's Spirit. A donkey was once filled with his Spirit to speak. The bush, the burning bush, was consumed by his Spirit to speak to Moses, and so on and so forth. We find this throughout the Scripture, where God put his Spirit upon man and woman in order to fulfill a divine purpose. However, the greatest divine purpose of his Spirit was found in the book of Acts, when God poured out his Spirit not to divide waters of an ocean, not to just speak to man, not to just speak through a donkey, not to just empower man and woman to see the miraculous, but to save humanity. This is why Jesus said, I'm not going to be with you anymore. He says, but I will be in you. The Scripture speaks of the Spirit of God being with us and one day being in us. And so this is a tangible, think about it, the purpose. If the purpose in the Old Testament of the Holy Ghost was to bring a group of people from Egypt to a promised land, and the empowerment of God's Spirit was a divine, tangible, notable experience, how much more would his Spirit unto salvation, receiving the gift of his Spirit, also be a divine, notable, tangible experience? For instance, when God prophesied the outpouring of his Spirit, the giving of his Spirit for salvation, eternal salvation, it's recorded in Joel chapter 2 that God said, I will pour out my Spirit. That right there is a tangible expression of God's salvation unto the Holy Ghost. I will pour out. Everybody say pour out. It's not just an experience that we hope that is in us, because I believe in Jesus. I'm not belittling your belief or your confession of Jesus, but what I'm letting you know that there is an experience for you greater than you have ever experienced in your life. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just a feeling from within that you might say, I think I've received the Holy Ghost, because I feel joy. I feel peace. I feel joy. Yesterday for lunch, we ate at P.F. Chang's and I felt joy. And then we got kicked out of the restaurant because we had 9 people and not 8, and they only allow 8. And we didn't think Levi, little 3-year-old Levi, would be counted as a full person. So I thought we had 8 1/3. And they came over and said, you've got nine, and I got my mouth full of Mongolian beef. And I said, all right, I guess I got to leave. And we got kicked out. But I still felt joy because it was good. Them chicken lettuce wraps and Mongolian beef. I felt joy, but that wasn't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, when he pours out his spirit upon us, is a divine, tangible, notable. Have you caught on yet? I'm going to keep using these words. It is a notable experience and expression, so that when you experience it, you don't have to say, was that the Holy Ghost or not? If the Lord gave us the emotions to experience joy by secular carnal things like Mongolian beef, how much more would he want us to have an expression, a tangible memory that we can say, that was my being born again of the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus, when referring to the outpouring of his Spirit, he called it power from on high, and said to his disciples, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's more than just a feeling that you might feel from within. In Acts chapter 2, on this day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on them like as of a rushing mighty wind, and there was an appearance of cloven or divided tongues like as of fire that set upon each of them. They didn't have to go out to eat that day and say, did you get the Holy Ghost? I'm not sure, because I felt a little this and a little tingle. I felt a little bubbling of something. I felt a little goosebump, and I felt a little joy. No, I know, because when I looked at you, there was a tangible expression like as of fire. I heard the rushing mighty wind. I felt the demonstration of God. What I'm preaching to you today is this. We don't just have to wonder anymore. We don't have to question anymore. In fact, you don't even need faith to believe that you've got it. When you have a tangible demonstration like as of a rushing mighty wind, and you speak in new languages, in other tongues, you don't have to believe it anymore. You've already received it. Hallelujah. It's like someone saying, if you just have faith, I'll give you $1 million. If you just have faith, they tell you year after year, if you just have faith, I'll give you $1 million. And you keep convinced, I've got faith. How much more faith do I need? I've got faith. You're going to give it to me. You're going to give it to me. And then they make the deposit, and you can go on your bank account or your bank app and look and see the funds that have been deposited. I've got the $1 million. It would be almost ridiculous to get back on your knees and pray, or call that person who promised you the $1 million and say, I'm still believing. I still have faith. I still have faith about that. You don't need faith anymore. You've got the evidence. It has been deposited. It has been given. If somebody were, y'all don't know, y'all may not remember what checks are, but if someone wrote a check and put your name on it, and the best part is they didn't just put your name on it, but then they signed their name to it. Woo. They put a check with your name on it too. Chris Green, and then signed it. Man, someone is getting a spirit to write me a $1 million check today. I'm feeling in the Holy Ghost. And then they signed their name. Now I don't have to have faith for it. It's been given to me. Now it's mine to take it. Now it's mine to take it. Remember in Acts chapter 19, when Paul, he is traveling throughout Ephesus. And Ephesus is a whole nother story. Ephesus was a tropical location where it was hard to have revival. They were on island time. In Ephesus, they'd say church at 10 a.m. and everybody would start showing up about 1 p.m. You ever preached or been to church on an island, a tropical place? I remember the first time my wife and I, we traveled. We were in Australia, and we were in the Torres Strait Islands of Australia. And this island was so small you could walk around it in about an hour. And the pastor said, okay, the first service is tonight at 7 p.m. He didn't pick us up until about 8 o'clock. I was nervous, and I'm thinking, what in God's name is going on here? And did we miss it? Were we supposed to walk there? And finally, he picks us up close to 8, and I said, what's going on? You okay? Do you have a flat? He's like, oh, no, my brother. He said, people are just starting to show up. And he's like, it probably won't get started until about 8:30, 9 o'clock, you know. It's just island time, and that's like what Ephesus was. They were on island time. But Paul was determined to have revival in Ephesus. And again, that's another sermon. But here he was in Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus. And the scripture says he found John the Baptist's disciples. He found these men who happened to be the disciples of John the Baptist. And I recall to your memory, John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest prophet that ever lived. John the Baptist was the final prophet who preceded Jesus Christ. The final prophet who prepared the way for the Messiah. It was John the Baptist who got to baptize Jesus Christ himself. It was John the Baptist who prophesied. He first of all said, I'm preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. It was John the Baptist, his voice that cried out in the wilderness, preparing the coming of Jesus Christ. It was John the Baptist who said, look at this one right here, Jesus Christ. He's coming after me. He's mightier. He is mightier than I am. His shoes, I'm not even worthy to bear. He said, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It was this John the Baptist who died a gruesome death because of his submission and sacrifice to the way of Jesus Christ. But yet his disciples remained. They probably ran off when they lost their pastor and they went and hid in Ephesus somewhere, and they got a suntan on the beach, and here comes Paul preaching Jesus Christ, and he finds these guys sunbathing on the beach and says, hey, have y'all been baptized? And they said, well, we are believers. And he said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I'm glad to see that you're believers. I'm glad to find some people who believe in Ephesus, because Ephesus is a tough place to find a believer. In Ephesus, you find all sorts of people in Ephesus. I'm thankful I found a believer in Ephesus. But my question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So here's my little nugget for you today. The word in the original language, which the New Testament was written mostly in Greek, in that original language, the word to receive is lambano. Everybody say lambano. Lambano. It sounds like a dance move, doesn't it? Lambano. That word lambano literally means to take it. Everybody say take it. See, in our American westernized philosophy, we think if I'm going to receive it, I'm just going to sit there and someone's going to force it down me. Someone's going to give it to me and I'm not going to do anything for it. I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to receive it. That's kind of our way of receiving things here in America, isn't it? Well, if you promised it, I'm not going to sit here until you bring it over here and you put it on my feet. I'll receive it when you bring it over here. But in the original language, the word to receive is an aggressive form of action to take it. Here's the literal translation, lambano, which means to take it, to seize it, to lay a hold of, to apprehend it. Watch this now. To take it with the hand, to lay a hold of any person in order to use it. Y'all missed it. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? That word receive literally means to go out and take it with the purpose of using it. Here's another definition of this word lambano. To take what is one's own. In other words, to take what already belongs to you. Y'all aren't preaching with me today. Is this the Portland Pentecostals or what? He said to take what already belongs to you. Watch this. To take it, to receive it. Lambano means to make one's own of that which, when taken, is not let go. You're starting to preach a little bit with me. I figured that was going to set this place on fire. When you realize to receive it doesn't just mean there to sit there and wait for God to force it upon you, but to receive it says, that's mine. It's not anybody else's. It don't belong to the devil. It don't belong to the world. I don't even deserve it, but it belongs to me. And when I take it, I'm not letting go of it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. The Holy Ghost. Ghost is mine. The power of God belongs to me. You ought to do something for the Lord right now. Not for my preaching, but for the revelation of the Lord. The revelation of the word. That I have received something. I have taken something that I will never let go of. Well, I'm not going to be rude, but I'm going to tell you, we need a refreshing of the Holy Ghost today. I said, we need a refreshing of, we need to take it like we've never taken it before. We need to let, we need to put hell on notice today. I'm not going to be held back. I'm taking what belongs to me. You may have brought me every situation of discouragement. You may have brought darkness on my home, but I'm here to let you know I'm taking it. It's time to take it. It's time to possess it. Why don't you clap your hands by faith and just let your spirit know I'm taking the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Ayele boso no rabayele le bas. Yanda rabayele le bas. There's people here in this service and will be in the next service who have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time in their lives. They've never received this tangible, notable experience of being born again of the Spirit. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. I said, old things, they don't even exist anymore. Old things are passed away. The Bible says, when you are in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your addiction can die today. Your depression can die today. Your confusion, your suicidal thoughts can die today. And you can step out and say, I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm not going to be held back by addiction anymore. I don't have those addictions anymore. I don't have those temptations anymore. I'm a new creature. You can stand if you want. You can stay seated. That's why in John chapter 7, Jesus said to them, Jesus said, if anyone, somebody shout anyone. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Woo! He said, if you're thirsty, I don't care who you are, where you've been, where you are, where you're going. I don't care what country you're from, what nationality, what demographic, what color your skin is, how much money you have in the bank account or how much money you owe to the bank. If anyone's thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Watch this, verse 38, John 7. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Just a word for the saints for a second. You got the Holy Ghost, but it ain't flowing like rivers right now. And that's not a condemnation on you. There is a word of faith the Lord has brought me to let you know that today you can and will be refreshed by the powers of the Holy Ghost until once again those rivers are restored into your spirit. You don't have to walk around with a pint-sized ounce of the Holy Ghost no more. You don't have to walk around with just a little touch, just a little taste. You can have the rivers. But here's the key. Go to the next verse. He said it's going to flow out of you like rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the what? The Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Should what? Take it. He said, the rivers of living water are going to flow out of you when you believe on me and you get this boldness inside of you that says, I ain't got to wait for the instruction. I ain't got to wait for the invitation. I believe, I'm thirsty, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. You can remain standing. But you see, in Acts chapter 2 was the very first time when God poured out his spirit. Because in Joel 2, he prophesied, watch this. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. And that's happening now. Here's what he did not prophesy. He did not say in the last days. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He did not prophesy, all flesh will take it. But in Acts chapter 2, he pours out his spirit for the very first time unto salvation. The 120 in the upper room receive it for the first time. The notable, tangent, they didn't know what to expect. There was no curriculum of this is what it's going to look like, feel like, sound like. This is how it's going to come. And they were sitting there just waiting and praying and waiting and praying. And all of a sudden, the rushing mighty wind came and the divided tongues of fire set upon each of them. They all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They received it. They took it. When it showed up, they said, it's mine. When the wind began to blow, they said, I'm taking it. When the Spirit manifested himself as of salvation, they said, I've got to take it. It's mine. Yeah. 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 Here's where our problem is, and I'm not coming down on you. We're on the same team here. This is where our problem is. You got to convince me. You got to persuade me. You got to negotiate with me. I got to understand everything there is to know about it. No. When it shows up, if you say, I'm thirsty and I want to take it, it's yours. So the scripture says it was poured out. And there were people who looked. And y'all, most of you know the story. People who were watching in through the windows thinking, what in God's name is this? What's going on? They mocked them. They criticized them. They even claimed that they were drunk at 9 in the morning. They said they must have been drinking the way that they're acting like this. And Peter stood up and preached a sermon on Jesus Christ and said, you killed him. You crucified him. But this is him. This is him right here. We're receiving his spirit. And they were pierced in their heart and said, what shall we do? Peter said, all you got to do, show them that you're thirsty by repenting of your sins. Come back to Jesus. Come to Jesus through repentance. See, repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is saying, I was walking this way, but Jesus is over there. I'm turning around and going to him. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the washing away of your sins. And you shall what? There it is, lambano. And you shall take it. Now, in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. That word, receive, is not the same word, lambano. This word is like a weird Greek word. I don't even want to try to pronounce. But what it means is to accept. Just to accept. A little bit more passive. I just want to accept it. It says, when they accepted this word, they accepted it. They said, okay, he's told us what to do. In my mind, in my soul, my spirit, I accept this word. See, you cannot take the miraculous, the supernatural of God when you're fighting the word of God, when you're fighting the word that's coming to you and saying, and I'm not talking about fighting aggressively. I'm talking about when your mind is tormenting you and saying, but it's not for me. I don't think I can do this. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past, and I'm not sure if I believe this. I don't even know if I believe in God right now. I don't know what I believe. I don't know who to believe. I don't know where to go. I'm just not sure. You got to put that spirit out of your mind and say, I'm accepting this word today. I'm accepting this word. When they gladly accepted the word, then they came and they took it. They took the spirit of the word. They took the response of the word. The consequence of accepting the word is to take the power of the Holy Ghost for yourself and say, this is mine. It belongs to me. I'm taking it. One of the problems is that we accept the word. We come and we pray just a little casual prayer. And we pray maybe even an insecure prayer full of fear and doubt and unbelief. And we try and we feel it and we desire it. But we don't pray with that aggression to say, no, I'm taking it. Hallelujah. Just last weekend, just 7 days ago, we saw 46 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, most of which were first-time visitors who had never been to church in their lives. 46 people took the power of the Holy Ghost for them. The week before that, we were in Ohio, and we had a great service, and I told the pastor, I said, I feel there's a harvest here today. I've been feeling that harvest on me all year. There is a harvest ready right now. And I told the pastor, I feel it. So I just went up to the pulpit. I said, if you have never received the Holy Ghost, I want you to come forward. They didn't have but one visitor there that day in a good-sized church, but there were 8 children, I don't know, from about 4 all the way up to about 9 or 10 years old that came forward. It was not a children's revival, a children's service. I guess they're all children's revivals and services, but it was not focused towards them. But here they came, 8 children that came, and about 4, ranging from 4 to 9 or 10 years old. And there's just something about a child's faith. Jesus talks about you got to become like one of these children. Their faith, it's mine. You can't take your children to the grocery store without them saying, ah, take it. You turn your back for 1 second and that child is putting in Cinnamon Toast Crunch and everything else in the basket. You get up to the counter and you think, where'd all this stuff come from? A child knows I ain't going to get it if I just sit back and wait. A child knows I'm taking it. I'll risk getting in trouble. I'm going to take it for me. That's, children don't know how to share. Children say, that's mine. Don't touch it. I ain't sharing with nobody. That's mine. It belongs to, children know how to take what belongs to them, even to a fault, until finally the father and mother has, hey, wait a second. That's a little too much taken right there. I think our Heavenly Father wants to have a service like that where he has to step in and say, hold on, you're taking too much. I'm sorry, but this needs to be spread around a little bit, and you're just taking too much. I'm sorry, but that gift wasn't for you, and I'm sorry, that wasn't ready for you. I think God's ready for a Pentecostal church like this. I think God's ready to see a group of people like this get on their tiptoes in faith and say, it's mine. I'm taking it. I'm putting it in my house. I'm putting it in my heart. I'm taking it. So we had 8 children filled with the Holy Ghost and 2 young adults filled with the Holy Ghost in Ohio 2 weeks ago. Because they said, I'm taking it for me. Today we're going to see people filled with the Holy Ghost, and the rest of us are going to receive the Holy Ghost as if it were the first time. And just a moment when I tell you to, those who have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we're going to come stand right here in just a moment. And what's going to happen is we're going to lift up our hands and we're going to pray just a prayer of repentance that doesn't take long, but simply says, God, I'm turning myself around. It doesn't take long to turn around. It doesn't take too long to say, God, I'm going where you're going. I want to give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mind. Don't take long to do that. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance in just a moment when you come to the front. And then all of us are going to gather at the front as well. And we're going to lift up our hands and we're going to close our eyes so that we're focused on him. So that our focus is simply on him and nothing else. So that we're not distracted or intimidated by anything going on around us. But simply our focus is on him. We're going to position ourselves upward. I see a lot of people pray kind of like this. You know, their head is down. Their focus is downward. Everything is down. Because they're discouraged, they're heavy, they're weighted down by depression and discouragement and their sins and their past. But we're going to stand with faith, lifting up our focus to God. I know it's a step of faith for some of you to lift up your head beyond the obstacles that you have been fighting, but we're going to lift up our head unto God and say, God, this isn't about me anymore. This is all about you. And we're going to have our hands lifted, and then we're going to pray together the prayer of faith in Jesus' name. And everyone in this room, from young to old, every male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, every child, we're going to begin to shout unto God with a voice of triumph as loud as we can. And when we do that, we're going to take the Holy Ghost for us today. We're going to take his spirit for us today. And God said, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. When you are shouting unto God and you are taking the spirit of salvation that he purchased for you The Holy Spirit, He purchased it for you. When you take that, there will be a tangible, notable expression that you cannot deny, that those watching cannot deny. We will begin to speak in other tongues, not under my own accord or effort. The Bible says, as the Spirit gives the utterance. I'm going to give my voice of faith and praise. The Spirit is going to give the utterance. The Spirit's going to provide the sound, the words. I'm just going to lift up my voice of praise unto God. And all of a sudden, I'm going to feel something beginning to move inside of me like fire shut up in my bones. And as my voice is lifted up, it's not going to be able to be contained. I'm going to begin speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Let the church say amen. Amen. No, let the church say amen. 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 So, first of all, for those of you, if you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want to ask if you'd come stand with me. I know it's scary to take that first step, but you're going to push beyond your fear, anxiety, and nervousness and say, today is my day. It's time to take it. If you've never received the Holy Spirit of God speaking in other tongues, I want to invite you just to come stand right here. Trust me, in the next 30 seconds or so, you're not going to be the only one. Everybody in this room is going to come stand at the front. For those of you watching in the overflow, if you're watching this, I want you to go ahead and position yourselves and take a step of faith towards the front as well. But for those of you here, is there anybody in here you've never received the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand if you haven't received the Holy Ghost. What about you, buddy? Are you coming down? Come on. There he is. The icebreaker right there. Come here, buddy. Come stand right up here with me, all right? We'll be scared together, okay? What's your name?
Max.
Max, how old are you?
8 years old.
Whew. The faith of a child. Is there anybody else in here that you know, I've never received what you're talking about today? You've never received it? Just raise a hand. Anybody? Anybody in here? Everybody has received the Holy Ghost for the first time before speaking in other tongues. That's amazing. That's amazing. Amen. So this is what I want us to do. Since everybody in here has already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can go home. No, I'm kidding. Don't go home. I want everybody to take a step of faith. If you're comfortable with social distancing and all that, I want you to take a step of faith right now, and I want you to come to this front, and we're going to take what belongs to us today. I want you to come to this front. Would you turn around this way with me? We're going to face the front, and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Would y'all come together? Amen. 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 That's it. Go ahead. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you. That's it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe if there is anybody in here that hasn't received it, but you were intimidated, you were shy, if there's a saint in here that knows this person hasn't received the Holy Ghost, you just go stand with them and say, hey, we're going to pray. God's going to give you the Holy Ghost right now. You're going to take it, and you're going to speak with other tongues just like the Bible says. Just like the Bible says. Would everybody say in Jesus' name? We're not going to repent yet, but I just want everybody to close your eyes. I feel we need to break a spirit of resistance through praise and worship. So would you just begin to lift up your voice and praise God and rejoice in His presence right now? Lord, I love You, and I break through every obstacle right now. I destroy every barrier of opposition right now with my praise, with my worship. Come on, lift up your voice. Just love Him. If you don't know how to praise Him, just begin to say, I love You, Jesus. Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. There is no weapon against the church that can prosper when you simply begin to worship God in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, everybody listen to me. I want you to stop praying. We're going to repent right now. We've praised God, and we're going to repent. As your eyes are closed, I want you to lift up your voice and simply say, God, clean me out. I turn from my sins. Would you pray that prayer? God, I repent. I turn around. I'm letting go of who I used to be. I'm letting go of the old ways. I'm letting go of the old habits. I'm letting go of my old decisions, and I'm turning to You. Come on, pray that prayer sincerely, honestly, by faith. Go ahead, pray that prayer.
In my heart and my spirit, we surrender to you. That who I am, I will give it over to you. In Jesus' name.
That's it, come on. God, you're about to fill me up. So I'm asking you to clean me out first so that there's no debris, so that there's no obstruction. I want you to clean me out by your spirit of mercy, love, and grace. I give my life to you, O holy God. Hallelujah. For just another moment, you just have to trust me walking in the Holy Ghost right now. For just a moment, I just want you to begin to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your spirit of mercy and grace, for forgiving me, God, more times than I can count. Thank you for giving me the faith to turn around again. Come on, pray that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you haven't just cleansed me, but God, you've turned me around, and I'm coming back to say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we're ready. I want everybody to hear this word of faith right now. When we pray together in the next few seconds, the power of God that's going to fill you in this church is determined by you taking it, what belongs to you. Don't sit there and wait and say, where is it? Is it going to fall? Is it going to happen? No, no, no. It's here. When I shout hallelujah, I want you to take the power of the Holy Ghost for you by responding with a shout of praise. When I shout hallelujah, you're going to take what God has purchased for you. There's not going to be any more depression. There's not going to be any more confusion. There's not going to be any more darkness or fear when you leave this service, because you are taking the power of the Holy Ghost. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be liberty and freedom and power inside of you today when you take what belongs to you. When you hear me shout hallelujah, you will take it by shouting as loud as you can. Would you lift up your hands right now, every one of you? Would you close your eyes and would you lift your head upward towards heaven right now and get ready to shout? Take some deep breaths right now, because you're about to shout with your loudest voice unto God by the authority of the word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the courage to take what belongs to us, the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Shout unto God. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's yours right now.
Go, go.
Yes.